Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. In your advanced class today, as we finish this article on Lendesa, we have with us
Catherine
and Nathaniel
and Doris. So stay tuned. Here we are, here for the last day of Lendesa, Plant Seeds of Hope. I like things that give hope, don't you, today?
Well, yeah, it's always good to have a sense of hope, and especially I feel like sometimes when I read the news, all I read about are the bad things that are happening, so I am always okay with reading a story about something hopeful.
Right. This is an article about an organization that gives hope to people in several countries of the world, but especially now we're talking about what they do in India. And we're glad that you can all be with us today as we finish the article. And I'm going to ask Nathaniel if he'll bring us up to date on what we're talking about and where it is in the magazine.
Well, today we're starting on page 34 in the magazine, and we've been talking about this organization called Lendesa that does different things involving land to help poor people, giving them land to use to grow vegetables and different things that they can use. And we're also in particular talking about one program of this company that helps girls in India.
Right. In fact, not only gives land to the people that need it, but even making it possible for girls to own land, which is quite new there.
Yeah, I think that that is a very, very novel idea in India. So it will be interesting if the government does decide to go with this program. It will be interesting to see if it sticks or not.
Did you learn anything new from reading this article, Kate?
Well, I did. We had some interesting statistics, and I think we learned yesterday that almost half the girls under the age of 18 are married.
Oh, that was really shocking, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, I knew that things like this happened, but I was naive enough to think that it didn't happen that often.
And not that many.
Yeah.
Right?
It's. I mean, that was an amazing number. So,
right. Did you learn anything new from reading this article, Nathaniel, that you didn't know before?
Well, I was not aware of this group before, and so that was new to me. But also some of these strategies I'd never heard of before of how to support some of these families in need. I never thought about some of these land reform strategies of doing that.
Right. We've heard of other strategies where people feed the hungry, and they sometimes have helped people grow things, too.
Right.
And also people that build homes for people. Those are all very good organizations. There's a lot of ways to help people. But this idea is if they help the women learn how to grow things, then they'll bring in a little income, and maybe they won't have to get married so early because they'll be more worthwhile to the family. That's kind of a new idea.
Yeah, it is. And one thing I would like to say is that this organization is really, I think, they consider it important to start from square one. Because a lot of organizations, they come in and they just hand out food, but that's not getting to the root of the problem.
Right. They teach about how to grow the food, right?
Yeah. And Lendesa is doing that. They're saying, here's step A, B, C, D. Let's start with step A and take care of the problem.
Right. And so we learned some good things. We've also learned some good words. I know they said that they got the ear of the officials. That means they got their attention. I thought that was a good phrase to remember. Any other words that we might want to remember and keep in our vocabulary that we've learned so far?
Well, a great one for this lesson is empowerment. You know, giving someone authority, freedom, the feeling that they have a right to something or to do something.
That is a good word. In fact, empowerment is good. And to alleviate means to make it less. That's a good word.
Yep. You guys took both of my favorite words.
Right.
I think it.
Well,
yeah.
You can have destitute, but that's kind of a sad word.
It is sad, but it is a good sad. I mean, good word.
It's a bad word, but it's a good word to know, right?
It's a good word to know, yes.
Well. Right. Well, there are some very good vocabulary words for you to look over. And, of course, we talked about a dowry. and people don't have it so much now. Although people will say if a husband or if some girl gets married and a man has his father has a big company, he'll give them stock in the company or something. I don't know if that's a dowry, but sometimes people will give people things when they get married to another
family.
That's
right. Yeah, and it's usually the woman's family giving to the to the man's family.
Because he's supposed to take care of her forever, supposedly. But who knows nowadays, right? Lots of things are switching. We've talked about roles switching, haven't we?
Yeah, but it's kind of interesting to see where things go sometimes.
That's right. Well, so we're talking about this area now. We're talking about all of India, really. They're hoping that this project will be adopted by the government next year. So we'll have to check that up next year. But in the past, sometimes people, the government would just take land from big landowners and divide it up. They've done that in different countries. That doesn't work too well, I don't think.
No. Actually, the founder of this company, Roy Prosterman, he thought that would cause violence. So instead of doing that, why don't we find people who are willing to buy the land, and then we can give it to people that could use
that
it.
That was a very good idea, I think, don't you?
Yeah, they're going about this in a very honest and straightforward way, and I think that that's really good because, as we've seen in the past, when land is just taken from people and people are thrown together, that just starts a lot more problems and it doesn't fix the problem they set out to solve.
Right. So the girl that we were talking about at the beginning of this is 16 years old, and her name was Mamata. And she hopes that the garden can help save her. She's helping other people. But now we're talking about different cases of different people. And who are we going to talk about today?
Well, her name, one of the person's names is Bulbuli Barman, but we're going to talk about several people today. She's a mother that has two daughters, I think, she's concerned about.
Well, you'll notice that these names are not the usual names that we have for English names because they are Indian names.
Right.
They're a little hard to pronounce, aren't they?
Yes, that's right. And please forgive our pronunciations. We are trying, but these are unfamiliar names to us.
Right. So any of our friends from India, they can tell that we don't know the Indian pronunciation, but we'll try to do our best. So let's start reading then for today's lesson. Where are we going to start in?
We'll be starting today on page 34 on line 14.
Okay, so let's read the first section.
Bulbuli Barman notices major changes in her daughters, Chandana and Santana, since they began attending girls' group meetings in 2011. Earlier, they were very shy, she said, sitting on her dirt porch. Now, the girls communicate with others and have become very free, their mother said. Bulbuli is surprised to hear people still let their daughters marry young. The day has changed, she said.
Well, I'm glad to know that the day is changing, aren't you?
Yeah, when she says the day is changing, it's kind of like the times are changing, the way that we think, the way that we do things is changing.
What do you think she noticed about her daughter? She said they've changed since they went to these group meetings. How did it change them?
Well, she said that earlier they were very shy, but now they communicate with others and they have become very free.
I think their mother was happy about that.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I think that's a result of this empowerment program. It told these girls that they can be free and they were not so shy. They talk to people. They ask questions. They make relationships.
You notice that they didn't have very much. His mother was, said she was sitting on her dirt porch. So they just have very, you know, dirt roofs, maybe or grass roofs and, you know, small places. They don't have much.
Yeah, I think that that is an indication of the poverty level of the families that we're talking about. They have nothing. Their lives are very, very simple.
Well, it's nice that we do have some photos here. I noticed this picture of Chandana at the bottom. She's got a big smile on her face, doesn't she? What does it say about her?
She's riding her bike to fetch drinking water for her family in West Bengal, India. And between school and chores, those are things that she just has to do at home, Chandana attends local girls' group meetings as part of the Landesa Security for Girls Through Land project.
So she still goes to school. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, at least she's 14 years old, so she's still in school, which is very important. She's still being educated. And she seems to keep very busy with her chores and outside activities, the girls' group.
Right, and there's another picture of them up above them. You want to read that one, Nathaniel?
Sure. In this picture, Chandana is 14 years old. She's bathing with a friend near the rural village of Nakarkana, India. Many homes in this part of rural West Bengal lack electricity and running water. However, families prize the security of owning their land and having it in a good location.
So no electricity and no running water. Can you imagine living like that?
I cannot.
It's very difficult.
Yes, that would be unbelievably difficult, and it's very interesting to see how they deal with this.
But you notice that big smile on her face. At least she's able to go to school, and she's learning how to do these different things. So hope really brings a lot of joy to people, doesn't
it? It really does, and that's one of the things I find so fascinating about India. I've had friends who travel there, and everyone comes home and they comment on just like the vitality of the people, how happy they are despite all the hardships that they have in their lives. I find that very fascinating, very humbling.
It's wonderful, but without hope, people can't live much. In fact, that's why a lot of people, they say, Shambukai, they don't want to live any longer because there's no hope.
Right.
So it's very hard to live without hope.
Mm-hmm.
But this program is giving people hope, something to live for.
Yeah, going back to the title of this article, Landessa plants seeds of hope. Of course, you need food to live, but it's almost just as hard to live without hope as it is without food. You just have no feeling of wanting to go on without hope.
Right. What's the point? You know, what's the use?
Yeah.
So on page 35, we're going to find out here that regrets lead to resolve. Let's just read that column.
Regret leads to resolve. But her modern thinking may not be as widespread as she believes. Child marriage remains prevalent among India's poor. Giving a girl away young can lower the dowry payment her parents are forced to give the husband and his family. Just 7 years ago, Bubuli's next-door neighbors, who did not receive their land through a Landessa program, married off their 13-year-old daughter, also named Chandana Barman. "I could have gone to school and gotten a better life," said Chandana, now 20, with two daughters of her own.
So at the beginning of this section here, we see that modern thinking may not be as widespread as Bulbuli believes. She thought that no one would give their child in marriage anymore, not at such a young age, but it is still happening in India.
That's right. She said it may not be as widespread. So like Nathaniel just said, child marriage is still happening in India. And that goes back to what we mentioned yesterday, is that we're not just changing, or they're not just trying to change the process, they're trying to change the thinking of people in India.
Well, child marriage remains prevalent. And that word prevalent is a good word for your vocabulary.
That's right. Prevalent means that it's existing commonly or happens frequently. So like we've said, child marriage is prevalent. It happens a lot. It's all over the place.
Well, so why do they give away their girls so young?
Well, and I think we talked about this a little bit before, but it can lower the dowry payment that a family must give to the groom's family or the family of the boy that is receiving this girl in marriage, or man that's receiving the girl in marriage.
Right, and they give you an example of that. Just 7 years ago, their neighbor, their next-door neighbor, they didn't get their land through that program, but they married off their daughter when she was only 13. She probably cried a little.
Oh, gosh, Doris, that makes me so sad.
I know,
sad.
It's sad, really.
I know.
I mean, it's too young, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, I could have gone to school and gotten a better life, she says, now that she's 20, with two daughters of her own when she's 20. Isn't that terrible?
I can't even fathom having two children at the age of 20.
Right.
That's unbelievable to me.
Well, there's a picture down here of Shanti Kungor. She's 35, and her daughter, Ratna, 15. They live on a microplot, which is a very small piece of land, that they received from the West Bengal government through a Landessa design program in India. So they don't have a lot of land, but at least it's theirs.
Yeah, I mean, I think any little bit helps. Anything that they can get will help these families be able to grow food.
Right. So this is really a difficult situation, but let's finish reading the rest of this article. Let's take the last column.
She rarely makes it to girls' group meetings, but her brother, Prasenjit, frequently attends and brought home the knowledge that child marriage is illegal and avoidable. When his sister married, Prasenjit had a bad feeling but didn't know how to stop it. At the meetings, he learned that a girl can complain, if necessary, to the police. Now 16, he has made a pact with his friends to help any young girls they know who are unwillingly led into marriage. His family is proud. "We made a mistake," admits his mother, Fani Bala. "We're poor and we married her early because there was not much demand for dowry." Chandana wishes her family had discussed child marriage openly before. "I wouldn't have gotten married," Chandana said while nursing her youngest, Rocky. "I will never allow my daughters to be married young, and my parents and my brother would oppose it."
Okay, so she says she doesn't always make it to these meetings, but what about her brother?
Her brother frequently attends and brought home the knowledge that child marriage is illegal and avoidable.
So some people don't even know that.
Right.
You know, they say they're going to marry, it's against the law.
Mm-hmm.
But probably some of those places, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's against the law, so who cares?
That's true, and it's important to tell people these things. And I also would just like to comment here that it says that her little brother is going to girls' group meetings. And I find that really funny that a boy is attending these meetings that are technically for women, but they're welcoming anyone because they just want to get the knowledge out there.
Well, he cared about his sister, too, because
yeah.
He had a bad feeling, but he didn't know what to do about it. What did he find out at the meetings?
Well, he found out that what was happening with child marriage is not right, and actually that the government does not allow it. And like you said, he had a bad feeling about it anyway, but he didn't know how to stop families, especially his family, from going ahead and doing these things.
So he learned then that a girl can complain, and she can even go to the police.
Mm-hmm.
I know probably some people would be a little afraid to do that, though. Don't you think when you're 13?
Yeah, and especially to be married to a man who's older. I'm sure that as a young girl, they're frightened of these men at times. So
unless, and
especially if they're being treated badly, it would be very, very hard to work up the courage to go to the police and actually say, "I have a problem. I need help. Please help me."
Well, Nathaniel, aren't you proud of this young man, though? He's only 16, and he made this kind of a pact with his friends because he could see what was happening, and he made this strong agreement that you shouldn't break. It's kind of like a bond. He says, "We're going to do this." What did he say he's going to do, this 16-year-old boy?
Well, he decided that he and his friends would help any young girls that they know who are unwillingly led into marriage, and that really is something that is, you know, that kind of makes you proud to read that someone is taking a kind of responsibility for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's good because some of the family, they don't like the young boys. They see their sisters cry and suffer, and they don't want to have that happen.
That's right. And I like the fact that he's only 16 and he feels so strongly about this. We mentioned yesterday that it said that women are the next generation in land rights, but these young boys are also the next generation in forward thinking. And if these boys at the age of 16 are thinking this, then later in their lives, maybe
they'll stick up for it.
Exactly. It's the beginning of change. So.
Well, I'm glad his family's proud of him, too, because, you know, his mother even said, "We make mistakes and we're poor and we married her early because there wasn't much demand for her dowry." So the mother's kind of saying the reason they did this, but they know it's a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they feel a lot of regret, and I find that sad when they make this decision out of necessity, not because they don't love their daughters, but because they feel that they have to. It would be very hard 7 years later to find out, we could have avoided this.
Right. Well,
that's hard.
Chandana, she wishes her family had discussed this child marriage openly before, she said, because they probably just said, okay, we've already made this arrangement, you're getting married now, and just told her. Mm-hmm. I don't think she had anything to say about it. And well, she wished they'd discussed it openly with her.
Yeah, I think it's good that the family has decided to discuss it. But probably back then, like you said, her mom and dad said, you're going to do this. And when you're 12 or 13, you listen to what your mom and dad say.
But how does she feel about it now?
Well, she says, I will never allow my daughters to be married young, and my parents and my brother would oppose it. So she does not want the cycle to continue. We've been talking about this poverty cycle or this kind of cycle of tradition these past few days as we discussed this article, and she wants to break out of that cycle.
Mm-hmm. So I would say then that Landessa has been successful in a lot of ways because they've changed people's thinking, mm-hmm. not only just given them the opportunity to buy land, but working on the young people so they realize this is not the way to go. Mm-hmm. The government can have laws, but I think people have to realize it themselves, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, the government can do all kinds of things, but until you get into the root of the problem, until you get to the people.
People have to believe in it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Once people believe in it, then that's really going to be the catalyst for change. Mm-hmm. That's really what's going to finish the process.
And so it says regret leads to resolve. What does that mean?
Well, you have these people that have had these bad experiences, but that kind of gives them a kind of strength to make sure that these things don't happen again. They have regrets, but this resolve is that strength that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good that we have a little skit about this right now.
Hi, Sarah. What are you working on?
Oh, hi, Dan. I'm finishing up my report on my recent trip to India.
I really envy you, Sarah. You were able to spend 6 months there, studying the culture and generating a lot of new ideas.
Believe me, Dan, if you were there for 6 months, you wouldn't be envious of me. So many people are destitute. It's hopeless for many of them.
Yes, the caste system that is in place gives no empowerment to the majority of the citizens. They don't even have any opportunities to attend school.
One cultural situation that I studied while I was there was how families marry their daughters off, often at a very young age.
They're trying to avoid having to pay a huge dowry when she's older, so they aim to marry the girls by age 12.
Yes. Can you believe that in order to alleviate a financial burden, that parents would essentially sell off one of their children?
Of course, for us, it seems absurd that this tradition is so prevalent. But as you saw in India, you're dealing with a different world. We have conveniences. They have nothing.
I know. It's hard to get the ear of any community leaders or government officials to address this. So my university is advocating a pilot program that helps young girls be productive farmers.
That sounds like a great idea. It will help the girls by giving them some status and importance in the family.
And it will help the families by providing more food for them. If they view their daughters as contributors, they won't be so anxious to marry them off.
I admire you, Sarah. This is great work that helps people.
Thanks, Dan. Here, let me show you the rest of my report. Maybe you'll be interested in participating in this program also.
And maybe I can go to India next year with your group.
Well, it's interesting to know, and it's wonderful to know that there is hope. There's another picture we haven't talked about, too.
That's right. This picture is of a woman named Ruma Chatterjee who leads a girls' group in India where they discuss teasing, the role of police, land rights, rape, and abuse.
So they discuss a lot of things, don't they?
They do. And it's probably a good time for girls to get together and talk about problems they may be having, what they're facing in their lives now, and what they can expect to face in the future.
Yeah, that's right. And these different topics, there's different kinds of topics here, but a lot of them are important for these girls personally or in a more general way so they can understand kind of what's going on around the country as well as the different situations that they might encounter themselves.
Mm-hmm. I like this picture because it shows they're just sitting there listening and they're getting information that they didn't know. Because if you're in a family and somebody says, you have to be married, then you say, oh, and you just believe it. But mm-hmm. now they're telling them, you don't have to. You can go to the police. Mm-hmm. So they're giving these girls information which empowers them.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they really need this. These girls have probably been affected by the thinking of this country that's been around so long. They might themselves think that not worth much.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true.
That is true. I know, especially I think of my situation maybe where I was told I could do anything. And it's a better way to grow up. Not better, but it's
gives
a more
you confidence,
positive.
Self-assurance.
Yes, confidence,
right?
Thank you. Yeah, so these poor girls, this is something that really gives them a lot of confidence. And I think that's really important.
So it's good that there are these foundations around the world doing different things, and mm-hmm. it's a good subject for us to talk about. You probably know some. There's many different groups doing things around the world. But it's nice to know that people are trying to make this world a better place because this is where we live. This is our life. And we all need to plant seeds of hope wherever we go. So getting a better education gives people more hope. Mm-hmm. And we thank all of you for being with us, and we encourage you to share this story with your friends and others.
Yes, we hope that this word gets out, and we also hope that this program really does begin to make a difference in India. We're not sure if it's going to take hold for sure yet, but we really hope that it does.
Well, remember, they've already helped 100 million families, so that's a pretty good start.
Yeah, that's right. It sounds like Landessa has a pretty good foundation for making this change, so hopefully it will take root and continue.
So we'll continue with another lesson next time. So we'll see you again when we come to our advanced window on the world. Thanks for being with us, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.